Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's the amazing Rico Bronya podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Welcome to Rico Bronya. It is the first Rico Bronya in months in which we can say the New York Mets are no longer a first place team. They lose to the Boston Red Sox in the opener of that three-game series up at Fenway. The Philadelphia Phillies blow past the Colorado Rockies late, turning a deficit late into an easy victory over the hapless Colorado Rockies, who are now 8-39. And good morning. The New York Mets are a second place team. And good morning. We have more Juan Soto drama to discuss. We'll get into the game one loss. We'll get into Juan Soto. We'll get into what Mendy said, what Soto said. We'll break it all down here on episode number 485 of Rico Bronya. Let's start with him, and then we'll get into the game. Juan Soto in this game grounds out the shortstop in the first inning. Okay, whatever. One out, nobody on. Not the end of the world. But the third inning at bat was the remote throwing at bat, if you still have a remote control. The Mets are rallying down 3-0. They're showing a little bit of fight, and they're getting production from the bottom of the order. Francisco Alvarez rips a double to right. Tyrone Taylor comes up big with an RBI single. And then Francisco Lindor draws a four-pitch walk against a guy in Hunter Dobbins who doesn't walk anybody. And when Juan Soto comes to the plate, are we not all thinking, all right, here we go. Here we go. This guy's 4-for-38 with runners in scoring position this year. He's lacked that impactful hit. And while it's only the third inning of a Monday night game against the Boston Red Sox, this certainly has a chance to be impactful. This has a chance to erase all the talk from over the weekend and how small he came up against his former team. It gets to erase all the false stories that he's miserable and he hates it here and his family pushed him here. He could go out, hit a bomb of a home run, give the Mets the lead, and at least briefly change the narrative. And he rolls one over into a 4-6-3 double play. You got to be kidding me. And that is the root of Juan Soto's issues. We'll talk about the hustling in a few minutes. We'll talk about the stories that are out there about how miserable he is. We'll talk about the lack of shuffles. But the reality is, it's the lack of producing. It's the lack of being impactful. It's the lack of the big hit. And that's not a hyperbole. He's 4-for-39 with runners in scoring position. He hasn't been a productive player with guys on base. Hasn't happened yet. Now, there's a difference. Hear me out. There's a difference between saying, this is what's happening, this isn't good, let's talk about it, versus he sucks, get rid of him. No one is suggesting he sucks, get rid of him, but it is okay, especially here on the RICO, to say, this is unacceptable. And rolling into a double play against the immortal Hunter Dobbins after he walks Lindor on four pitches and you set up with this great opportunity, 2-1, 1-out, 3-1 in the third inning, was another punch in the stomach sequence for Juan Soto. So that's what this comes down to. Lack of producing. And that's the story of the Mets. Now, I get it's not just Juan Soto. It's also Francisco Lindor. He does draw that four-pitch walk in the third inning, but he comes up in the fifth inning with 2-1 and 2-out, same spot down 3-1, taking on Justin Wilson. He works this great at-bat, 10-pitch at-bat. He strikes out. He comes up in the seventh inning, same spot against a brand-new pitcher, Justin Slayton, 2-on, 2-out, and on the very first pitch, he rolls one over to second base. So it is not just Juan Soto. Francisco Lindor left four very important base runners on base. Brandon Nimmo comes up. This may have actually been, of all the big opportunities blown, Brandon Nimmo with 2-on and nobody out in the sixth inning, grounds in with 5-6-3 double play. That was a killer too. So I get this Met offensive malaise that they're on is not just about one guy. But here is the difference between the one guy in Soto and everybody else. Lindor is now slumping. There's no denying it. What is he, 1 for his last 23? Pete Alonso is slumping. He's getting a hit a day, like the base hit he had off the Green Monster before being thrown out at second in the first inning. But if you go back over the last 12 games, he's hitting 150. He has cooled off. Guys are going to cool off. This is the moment where we assumed, where we hoped, Juan Soto will elevate. Because when the Mets were winning a lot earlier this season and they were being carried by Alonso and then eventually Lindor, the comment I would make here on the RICO or on WFAN is, hey, this is great because eventually Soto's going to get hot and they can use him to get hot once everyone cools off. Well, everyone's cooled off. And where's Juan Soto? So that's a part of why he's facing a lot of heat right now, not just from me, but every Met fan, because this is his moment where they need him to step up, where they need him to get hot. And it hasn't happened. Now let's get to the play in question. Juan Soto leads off the sixth inning, still 3-1 because the Met bats did nothing after that Tyrone Taylor RBI single, and he pounds one. And it's funny how things can go in slow motion. He swings and he poses. And I notice it, and you knows it. He does that Ken Griffey Jr., I'm going to stand there and watch pose. And as that ball is flying, and I'm waiting for the SNY camera to show us where it's going, literally all I can think to myself is, this ball better get out. Because if it doesn't get out, knowing the Green Monster, knowing how well Jaron Duran played that Alonso ball in the first inning, and knowing that Soto is standing there in the box, this is going to be a bomb single. And Juan Soto right now can't afford that. If there's anybody in this Met lineup who can't afford to watch a ball bounce off the top of the fence and stand there like a mannequin, it's Juan Soto. Everyone else on this team can get away with it to a degree. But considering he's a day removed from that ground ball in the eighth inning in which he clearly lacked hustle and was called out by everybody because of it. Keith Radd and Howie Rose did a great job on the radio side. He can't afford this spot. He can't afford to be standing there. And what does he do? He stands there and he ends up with a single. Now, in fairness, Juan Soto, whether he admits it after the game or not, which we'll get to, clearly felt like a horse's ass because on the first pitch, he's stealing second, which to get into Soto's mind, that's his way of saying, I'm going to get out of this. I didn't run. I didn't move. I didn't give myself a chance to have a double off the fence. So let me steal second base and eliminate this being a thing. And here's the reality. The reality is he did eliminate that. Once he steals second base, the fact that he didn't run is only symbolic. It has nothing to do with the game anymore because he made up for it by stealing second base. So now let's get to the post game, and we'll go back to this game. We'll finish off what they didn't do offensively. We'll get Nikodai Senga. So we got a lot more to get to, but let's jump to the post game. When Carlos Mendoza is asked, I think by Mike Puma, hey, Juan didn't run on Sunday night against the Yankees. Juan didn't run on Monday night against the Red Sox. Do you need to talk to him? And Mendy said, yes. First of all, fall off your chair, because what manager in this day and age is actually going to acknowledge a lack of hustle and say, yes, I'm going to talk to a guy who makes 150 times the amount I make? And by the way, I'm probably under-exaggerating that. So I was surprised that Mendy even went down that road of saying, yeah, I'm going to talk to him about that. You got to know that on a ball towards the Green Monster, you better run. So Mendy saying that surprised me. Do I like it? I like it as long as the locker room doesn't fall apart. Like, a part of the reason why managers are softer in 2025 is not because they're just softer, but it's because they know to manage these egos and to manage guys who are making millions and millions of dollars, you can't treat them the way Gil Hodges would have treated somebody in 1969. Or the way Billy Martin treated somebody in 1977. It's a different world. So as long as this doesn't blow up, fine, tell him you got to run it out. My only question for Mendy would be, is that something you should even acknowledge publicly? As much as we like it and we appreciate hearing that, I don't know if the best way to get things done is to tell all of us, yeah, I'm going to talk to Juan Soto, especially since when Soto is brought with the, hey, you haven't been hustling, he denied it. Juan Soto, hey, do you need to hustle more? No. If you've been watching, I've been hustling. Juan, this is the biggest mistake you've made as a member of the New York Mets. It's not lack of hustle. Because I can give you a laundry list of guys in this town who did not hustle. Carlos Beltran, when he first got here, was involved in a lack of hustle scandal, if you will. This is not new. And there would be plenty of Met fans, I'd be one of them, who looks at the Green Monster ball and says, you know what? You're probably ending up with a single anyway. You stole second to make up for it. It's not that big of a deal. The one in Yankee Stadium, probably more of a bigger deal. But the one in Fenway, you're going to find fans who are going to say, yeah, it's okay. What you can't do, and this is the mistake Juan Soto made, you can't lie to us because we're not idiots. We watch. We consume. Don't tell us something that isn't true. You haven't hustled.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Now, is that my biggest issue with you? No, my biggest issue is you need to produce. My biggest issue is when you come up in the third inning with 2-1 and 2 out or 2-1 and 1 out, don't bounce into a double play. That's my biggest issue. My biggest issue is in the eighth inning when Justin Slayton falls behind you 3-0, don't let him work back, get it to 3-2, and have you tap back to the mound. Set up the eighth inning by getting on base. That's my biggest issue. My biggest issue is at Yankee Stadium, you didn't produce. So for most Met fans, it's simply you've got to be the player we thought you were. The hustling thing is a side story. We'll talk about it. It's not ideal, but it's not the number one issue. But you lying to us makes it a bigger issue than it needs to be. When you're asked after the game, hey, do you think you need to run a little bit harder considering you had two incidences in the last 2 days in which you clearly did not run hard? There is no debate to this. You didn't. We can debate how big of a deal it is. That's a different story. But no one can say you ran hard on the DJ LeMahieu play in the eighth inning at Yankee Stadium. They can say it. They'd be BSing. No one can say you ran hard in the sixth inning when you thought you got one. There are so many ways you can answer that question without being a liar. Like, number one, you could say, hey, I thought I got that one. That's on me. Or, yeah, I do have to hustle more. Or you could even go with the Joe Judge. You know what the Joe Judge one is? I got to look at the tape. Give me a, I got to look at the tape. Don't give me a, if you've been watching, you see I'm hustling. What? What are you talking about? What, you ground out in the first inning, you ran hard? That's the biggest issue Juan Soto made on Monday night. He told us, hold on, let me get this phrasing right. You're pissing on our head and you're telling us it's rain. I think that's the line. Just don't lie to us. Don't BS us. Because now, going into Tuesday night's game against the Red Sox, we have another issue. Mendy's going to be asked, hey, Juan Soto said he's hustling. What do you think? And I'll give you what Mendy will say and what he should say. He's going to say, ah, it's private. We're talking. We're fine. We're all good. That's what he's going to say. And looking back on what Mendy said Monday night, that's probably what he should have said. As much as it drives us in the media or fans crazy when a manager or a coach doesn't just tell you direct answers, sometimes it's best to say, that's all behind the scenes. We'll take care of it. Because now publicly, you have the awkwardness of Mendy confirming, I need to talk to Juan Soto about hustling, and Soto denying it's an issue. But let's not get this twisted. Soto telling us something that isn't true becomes an issue, but the real issue with this team is they are not hitting. And it's been going on all year, but it's really blown up over the last 7 days with the three games against the Pirates, the three games against the Yankees, and then last night against the Red Sox. They score one run. They go 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position. They have a ton of scoring opportunities, and they come up small. And yes, it's just about everybody. Top to bottom, you have a lineup that is slumping. Francisco Lindor thinking it's April of most years. Pete Alonso naturally has cooled off. Mark Vientos gives you the fits where you think he's about to get going. He puts together a very weak 0-for-4 yesterday. Brandon Nimmo has left countries on base. I thought Francisco Alvarez had a very good day on Monday with a couple of base hits to right field. Unfortunately, he bounced into a double play that ended the game, hacking at the first pitch. I thought Jeff McNeil had a productive day, drawing a walk, getting a base hit in that fifth inning, and obviously Tyrone Taylor. So they got production out of the bottom of the order. They got nothing out of the monsters. The big guys in the order did nothing, and it's got to change. You're not winning scoring one or two runs a game, and you waste solid pitching. And that's what Kodai Senga was on Monday. He was solid. And in a lot of ways, what Senga did on Monday was one of his most impressive starts of the year. Why do I say that? I say that because in the third inning, with the team already down 3-0, forget the score for a second. This bullpen has been used quite a bit recently. Think about starting Friday against the Yankees with Tylor Megill's crap performance. They've been chasing by having to use a lot of bullpen arms over the last 5 or 6 days. Really over the last 4 days because they did have an off day on Thursday. And it looked in the third inning that not only can this game get out of hand where a 3-0 game could turn into 5-0 because there were guys on base and there was traffic all the time, but his pitch count was so high that he was going to come out after 4 innings. That's what I thought with Senga. Like, this is going to be a 4-inning performance. And after he fights through the second and really fights through the third, because that's where he was in major trouble. It's 3-0 already. The Mets scored a run to make it 3-1. He gives up the leadoff double to Alex Bregman, also high off the Green Monster. But unlike Pete Alonso and Juan Soto, Alex Bregman was actually able to get the second base. He makes huge pitches, especially when he struck out Trevor Story on that fork to get through the third inning. And then in the fourth inning, he probably pulled off his biggest Houdini act because Pete Alonso, and Pete, we love you, bro, but these throws to first base, I don't know what the hell's going on. It is a simple play. It's not a throw home. It is an underhand flip to Kodai Senga on the ground ball off the bat of Jarren Duran. And he flips it like a helicopter through the air past Kodai Senga. And I would say it's becoming mental, but luckily, later in the game, we saw him successfully convert the 3-1 spring training play to where he's laughing about it and Kodai's laughing about it, which I guess is a good sign because it means, ah, it's funny. See, we solved it. And the only reason we could laugh is because after that error and after Senga looked like he struck out Devers on a 3-2 fastball that I thought was strike three but was called low, he was able to get through the inning and get Bregman out. Otherwise, the fourth inning was going to turn this game into an ugly game. But his pitch count was so high at this point, not helped out by the Pete error, which added, what, 10 pitches to his pitch count, that I figured he ain't long for this game. And Kodai Senga in the fifth and sixth inning pitches 1-2-3 innings in both. He even gave you got to like this for anyone who don't love Senga. He even gave you the one-finger salute to Mendy in which he said, give me another inning. I don't know if we've ever seen that from Kodai Senga, but I thought that was really important. In a lifeless loss, and a loss that's going to be about Juan Soto, Kodai Senga really delivered, giving them those last two innings and keeping them in the game. Yeah, there's a million guys on base. Yeah, Kodai Senga's whip is high. I get it. The bottom line is, can you give yourself and give your team a chance to win? He did. Six innings, three runs. He did. Especially when he gave up three in the first two innings. Especially when his pitch count is blowing up. Especially when Pete Alonso's flipping a baseball over his head. So, major props to Kodai Senga. 91 pitches through five, and he comes out for the sixth inning, and he pitches a 1-2-3 inning. Very strong effort by Kodai Senga. And even that Jose Castillo making his Met debut got through some trouble in the seventh inning. Got a little lucky, got Trevor Story to line out with two on, but he gets through it. Same thing with Jose Buto working through trouble. We see Met catching again, throw out a base runner, Alvarez throwing out the very fast David Hamilton. So all those little things were good, but then you had the offense doing garbage. Oh, one other positive, Brett Beatty's defense at third base. Another sparkling Brooks Robinson-like play. Mendy, while you're talking to Soto about his lack of hustle, let's make Beatty at third base semi-permanent. And I think it will be because their Mets' best lineup features Beatty at third and Vientos DHing. Their best defensive lineup features Beatty at third and Vientos DHing. But this offense is the problem. And this offense has to wake up. Because right now the Mets are going through a little bit of a funk. Over the last 23 games, going back to the sweep of the Philadelphia Phillies, the Mets are 11-12. They are a mediocre, under 500 team. And remember, they not only have to face Garrett Crochet on Wednesday, which will be no picnic, with Tylor Megill on the mound, talk about a mismatch, but then you've got games against the LA Dodgers. So while the Mets have fallen out of first place, and that may seem temporary, when you look at who they're facing, when you look at their struggles, when you look at who the Phillies are facing, there's a damn good chance we are staring at a deficit in the National League East by a couple of games by the time we get past Memorial Day and the schedule softens up with games against Chicago and Colorado. They got to start hitting. Am I ready to make a lineup change? I'd consider it. I would. And the lineup change I would consider is leading off Juan Soto. That may sound nuts to you, but you know what? Why not? First of all, Soto is at his best when he's getting on base. You make him the leadoff hitter, that's his only worry. We'd love for you to drive runs in. We'd love for you to hit the ball over the fence. Just get on base. And he's actually stealing bases. He's got five stolen bases this year. Five or six, I think he's up to. I would go Soto 1, Alonso 2, Lindor 3. Those three guys, to me, have to bat in the first inning. So whatever you want to do with the lineup, those three guys have to be 1, 2, 3, however you want to line it up, fine with me. But I try it. Why not? Let's get this guy going. They need to get him going. Now, let's get to the fiction around Juan Soto. Right now, Juan Soto looks miserable. I'm not going to deny that. He looks miserable. He doesn't look happy. He's not smiling. In fact, we got a lot of emails in the ricob@gmail.com, but there was one email I wanted to read to you. It's from a guy that was at Fenway Park last night, a guy by the name of Jack. Jack writes, "I basically sat in the dugout tonight. I have some observations." He sat in field box 69, row AAA, seat one. Those sound like really good seats. So he's got a lot of observations, but I want to get to the Soto one, and then we can discuss. In general, yes, Soto does not look happy. It's just not the look. It's not just a look of "I'm not doing well." Something's in his head. Maybe he's second-guessing signing with the Mets. He basically tucked into the right dark corner of the dugout and sat there, sometimes staring out, sometimes with his head down. You can tell he and the team are not handling the situation well. It made me think, maybe if things don't turn around, either because he can't fix his mental or because there's some other element that's holding things back, I hate to even say this, but makes you wonder if signing him was a mistake. Something is off with him for sure. He looks like the depressed kid in school. He also didn't interact with us much. Maybe those things Michael Kay says sounds nuts are true. I never believe them, but after what I saw today, it makes you wonder. So what Kay said was he's hearing that Juan Soto wanted to stay with the Yankees and his family pushed him to the New York Mets. Here's what you always have to be careful about with reports. Who's telling you this? Now, I got no issue. I got no quarrel with Michael Kay, but the reality is the odds are very high that the people that are telling him this are more associated with the Yankees than they are Juan Soto or the New York Mets. And that story, while I am not denying he wasn't told that, sounds like bitter pills from the Yankees. Yeah, you know, he wanted to stay with us, actually, but his family forced him to the Mets. That's what that sounds like. So I have a tough time believing it, because it really sounds like bitterness from the New York Yankees. Not bitterness from Michael Kay. I think he's just telling you what he heard. But where'd he hear it? I mean, he probably heard it from the Yankees. Does anyone think he heard that from Scott Boras's cousin? Who's like, yeah, you know, he really wanted to go back to the Yankees, but we in the family, we pushed him to Queens. I mean, come on. That's a Yankee tint. And the Yankees had a great weekend. They won the series. The replacements did well. It is looking wonderful in the short term for the New York Yankees. But keep this in mind. It's about the long term. The Yankees may win the battle this year. Like, the replacements for Soto may end up being, they may produce more. You never know. They may lead to more Yankee victories. The question is 2029 and 2027 and 2030. Like, Juan Soto's a 26-year-old player who signed a 15-year contract. And while some may mock the last 5 years of the contract, what about the first 10 years of the contract between the ages of 26 and 36, where we assume he's going to be a great player? Those replacements that right now Yankee fans have every right to be excited about are probably not even on the team in 2 years. So it is a long-term analysis on who won this. But when I hear a story like that, Juan Soto didn't want to sign with the Mets. His family did. It reeks of that coming from the Yankees. And you always have to keep that in mind, whether it's me reporting a story, which I rarely do, or any other reporter. Where is it coming from? The whole joke in the Woj versus Shams NBA breaking news world was Woj will leak stuff from the executives and Shams will leak stuff from the players. Well, in this case, this is from the Yankees. I mean, you could almost envision Yankee management saying this. Like, yeah, he wanted to stay with us. We're the Yankees. The only reason he went to those peasants in Queens is that his family begged him to. The issue right now with Juan Soto, to me, and this is not with any sources, I'm not going to make anything up. This is just a normal guy watching every freaking pitch. This is a guy that's down in the dumps because he's a mess, because he's not hitting, because he's not producing, because he feels it at the plate. He knows it at the plate. He's not shuffling because he doesn't have a swagger. He doesn't have a swagger because he doesn't have a confidence. When will that change? I hope soon. Look, he's had long slumps before. Go back to his time in San Diego. So I can't tell you it's going to end tomorrow. It was a fairy tale for us to assume it was going to end just because he was walking into the Bronx to play the New York Yankees. So this could be, I hate to say it, this could be a whole year. This could be Beltran all over again. And let Beltran be, I have to say, our saving grace. Because if you ask most Met fans, besides the injuries at the end of his career, was Carlos Beltran a good signing? Was he worth it? Most Met fans are going to say yes. And it began under very similar kind of clouds that Soto has. Not a terrible start, but a start that's not worthy of our expectations. This idea that he really wanted to be a Yankee, because that was connected with Beltran too. We all heard that story, that he went back to the Yankees and basically said, give me this, I'll go there. Yankees said, no, he ends up with the Mets. And a first year in which he just didn't connect with the fans and just didn't connect at all. And luckily in year two, it all connected. He had a great year. The Mets got to the NLCS. He got pushed out to do a curtain call, but he eventually did it. I am hoping that we're not sitting here for an entire year dealing with this, but let the Beltran story remind you that even if we do, it doesn't mean this contract is going to be a failure. Doesn't mean we're going to regret this for the next 15 years. But I think what would make things go a long way right now for Juan Soto is to not say the wrong things when you meet the media after the game. And saying the wrong thing includes BSing fans by saying, yes, I've been hustling. Haven't you noticed? You haven't been hustling. We have noticed. And truthfully, if you produce, we're not going to care as much. So go produce. This team also needs to clean up their garbage defense. It's got to be better all the way around. Obviously, the Pete Alonso play jumps out at you. He needs to be better. He knows it. But this defense has been all over the place all year, and it's almost everybody. Francisco Lindor has been shaky this season. Third base when Vientos plays has been shaky. Pete Alonso has been very up and down. They got to clean this up. They got to cut down on these mistakes. And hopefully they can come back and win this series against the Boston Red Sox. Anyhow, I leave you on this note. Juan Soto is a Met. Juan Soto is not going to secretly demand a trade to the New York Yankees. But Juan, if you're listening, please start producing. It'll make your life a lot easier. Thank you very much for listening to episode 485 of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford store share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.